Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everybody. David Nagel. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today, we're talking about when self-esteem turns to self-abuse. So the idea behind this is kind of coming from, kind of inspired around the idea that people are taking outside influences, and so many of them are actually internalizing in a way where they're feeling bad about themselves. And there's a lot going on, you know, there's a lot going on. But I think what we have to be careful about is, you know, empathy and compassion is definitely a good thing. But when we start to feel bad about ourselves, we really should understand what's actually happening, because we're internalizing something different, and it's really bringing up. So let me back up here. When I say it's really bringing up, what am I talking about? When we're seeing pain going on in society, and we start to feel bad about ourselves because we're observing the pain that's going on in society, we have to question what's actually taking place within ourselves, because that's not a good thing. It's different if we were doing something bad and we were having remorse. That's something completely different. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is literally taking on the pain of other people as some kind of self-identification process. And I want to talk about it because I see a lot of people suffering from it right now. I've been getting a ton of questions in various different areas around this. And what does one do about it? So the first thing is let me see if I can shed some light on what's causing the problem to begin with. And it's a very fascinating, unique set of circumstances that causes this, but it should be a wake-up call to people. So let's start it like this. When a person is a child and they're going through their childhood, we have all different kinds of experiences that begin to form the foundation of how we think, our emotional intelligence or lack thereof, any kind of trauma that gets stored in the body, in the emotions. And of course, the stories that we have been told about life and that we create about life as we begin to go through life. So if anybody who's been listening to my podcast for a period of time, you pretty much know that I talk about how most of our programming happens prior to the age of 7. And virtually all the programming that happens prior to the age of 7, we don't have the ability to reject because there's not a conscious mind developed yet. So given the idea that there's not a conscious mind developed, let's think about the enormity of information that a person can take in a 7-year period of time. It's quite a bit. Along with the experiences that go with it. So now you have emotions, you have experiences, you have ideas, you have stories, you have facts, you have pain, you have happiness, you have a whole myriad of human experience being programmed in this little child at 7 years old. Then after 7, you know, person is both experiencing life from their conscious mind, even though it is not completely fully formed yet, from their conscious mind and with their subconscious mind, telling them kind of how to experience what they're experiencing. If a person is building a low self-esteem, meaning that an individual does not really think well of themselves deep down inside. Now, of course, there's various different degrees of this. I mean, we see people that have a low self-esteem that really treat themselves terribly as they go through their life in many cases. There may be substance abuse. There may be all kinds of problems in relationships. There could be major health issues. They may have problems holding a job, really getting along in society. Like the endless amount of difficulties that people create in their lives because of a low self-esteem are just that. They're endless. I mean, it just goes on and on. We could literally spend weeks just talking about the destructiveness that happens in a lot of people's lives. But then you have something that's a little bit different. You have somebody that has a bit of a low self-esteem, and their life's not completely horrible, but they're not getting everything that they want out of life either. And they're really kind of going out there trying to keep their head above water. They're doing well, marginally. They may be anywhere from working class to professional. I've even seen this with some business owners. They understand that they have some emotional challenges, some identity challenges, and yet they're striving to push forward anyway. All of a sudden, something happens where society starts to take on a viewpoint of pain, and as a lot of people take on the same viewpoint, this person all of a sudden starts to identify with this pain, and they become the pain itself. They become the problem. They see themselves as the problem. And I'm talking about an individual where there's no identification with the problem prior to this, right? So they're not causing a problem. They're not being a problem. They're not doing anything to anybody. And all of a sudden now they see themselves very shamefully, very guilt-ridden, and they're engulfed by it. So what's actually taking place? Because some of the decisions that people are making in this engulfed state of emotions are really not good decisions for themselves or for anybody else. I think the problem that we're looking at is that, you know, our self-esteem is very much like this internal compass that kind of takes us through our life. And as our self-esteem takes us through our life, it's looking for things to resonate with. I mean, human beings are always looking for something. They're looking for other people that they can resonate with. Maybe maybe they're looking for a lover. Maybe they're looking for a friend. Maybe they're looking for an employer. Maybe they're looking for an employee. Maybe they're looking for a business. They're looking for an idea or a hobby, something fun to do, a movie to watch, a book to read. Things that harmonize with whoever they are, whoever they feel that they are in their spirit, the points of interest in their life. And they will say, ooh, I like this. I like that. That's me. This is me. I like to do this. I don't like to do that. And what's astounding about this is that many people go through their entire life doing this, but they've never really come from the aspect of thinking about what do they truly want for themselves, developing the internal belief system, the self-esteem, the higher standards, the emotional intelligence to go out and create it. They're just kind of bouncing through life, becoming whatever life dictates them to become. And they don't know it because in many cases, there is not a broad spectrum of something actually taking place that disrupts their life in either a positive way or a negative way. They're just kind of floating through life, just moving through life, so to speak, and they become whatever they need to be to kind of survive and to make it through. They become what they need to be in a marriage. They become what they need to be as parents. They become what they need to be for their employer. Some people even take this a little bit further. They become what they need to be in kind of like in starting a business, right? And slowly, hopefully, a person starts to become self-aware of what they truly are and what they truly want. But if the self-esteem that's going on inside of them is really not feeling at home with itself, it will glom on to anything that it self-identifies with. So right now in our country, we have a tremendous amount of guilt going on. We have a tremendous amount of shame going on. We have fear. We have insecurity. We have hopelessness in some cases. We have a lot of anxiety. We're in a lot of turmoil. Like our country has not seen, and for that matter, our world has not seen this much turmoil in a very long period of time. So people's emotions are all over the place with what's going on. And the majority of individuals, if you watch and observe, they want to do the right thing. But also what we're seeing is that people are losing their bearing on what the right thing actually is. There's a tremendous amount of individuals that are coming in right now and bullying other people, really being a voice of telling others who they need to be, what they need to do, and being very insistent upon their opinion. And they're forcefully telling people that are not even asking for any kind of help. They're doing it online. They're doing it in a lot of different situations where somebody that they don't even know just comes and starts attacking them because they're making an assumption about who they are, what they're doing, what they think, what their values are, what their standards are or not, and telling them how to change their life. When you see someone who all of a sudden morphs into this childlike person and is like, oh my God, I'm such a bad person. When they weren't doing anything bad to begin with. If that person doesn't understand that a giant force of emotion and opinion just hit their self-esteem in a very weak place, there's a very good tendency that they're going to blow something up in their life. They're going to totally tear it apart. Right now, we have a lot going on with white guilt. We have the George Floyd massacre, like the horrific problem with certain people in the police. We've got a systemic racism problem in our country that needs to be addressed. We keep saying that we're going to address, but it still keeps showing up. And the country's like overflowing. It's overflowing with emotion. People have had it. They're tired of it, and rightfully so. But when we take that energy and don't direct it toward the problem, we just direct it in every direction that we can, the casualties from that can be enormous. They can be devastating. So I'm speaking to the people that are coming to me going, I feel all this shame and guilt about who I am because there's other people of my race or my gender or where I grew up or in what I do that had something to do with racism, or they had something to do with something that wasn't right. And now I'm identifying through their wrongdoing in life. And I'm having that wrongdoing be thrust on me. So it's like, okay, what do you see for yourself in this? And the answer that I'm getting on a broad scale is that I'm a bad person. Deep down at the core, I'm a bad person. Well, why would somebody think this, that they're a bad person? I think we have to really address this question, because it's not that there's not bad people out there, and it's not that racism and prejudice of any kind is not happening. It's totally happening. It's an enormous problem. But if individuals that are very susceptible from a low self-esteem perspective are on the bullying end of the strong opinion that is taking place in many instances, then that individual is going to really feel awful about themselves. So I think that one of the things that we need to really understand about ourselves is, what do we actually stand for from a point of being a human being in this world today? And I'm talking to everybody as an individual right now. I'm not talking to any group of people. I'm not talking to any color of people. I'm not talking to any ideology. I'm just talking to an individual that might feel lost right now and is really struggling with the emotions that they're actually going through. If you look at somebody who's very solid in who they are, they were raised in a household where they were solidly brought up to know who they were. They have good standards, good values, good beliefs. They have good emotional intelligence. They work on themselves. They're constantly moving forward. They surround themselves with great people who help hold them accountable. You're not going to see this problem. Because somebody from the outside coming in, no matter how loud they tell you that you're something, a person who's solid themselves is not going to believe it. They're going to be like, okay, I understand that this person's probably in pain. They're hurting. There's something going on with them right now. It doesn't mean what they're saying about me is right. Just because they're directing at me arbitrarily because of the color of my skin or where I live or where I work or what I do for a living. There doesn't seem to necessarily be any rhyme or reason to it either. It's just people directing, projecting their emotion, their pain, their ideas onto whoever will listen. So the individual that's strong recognizes this, and they understand that people can have whatever opinion that they want, and they can choose to do with it whatever they like when they find themselves in a situation like that. But the individual that has a low self-esteem may be suffering from something much more horrific, because this is not something that we often see. I mean, we see it in toxic situations. It can be in a toxic employer, a toxic family, a toxic marriage, children that are in abusive situations where they're getting a person who is very angry, upset, and sometimes they have mental disorders where they're constantly brutalizing an innocent individual. Let's say a child, for instance, and telling that child or indicating that to that child who they are from a bad perspective. That child is going to grow up with trauma wounds. That child is going to grow up with a low self-esteem. They're going to have serious issues that are actually taking place within themselves. And it's almost like as this person starts to go out in the world, they become very, very vulnerable to the idea of their own self-esteem becoming self-abusive based on the reflection that it's getting back from society. We cannot underestimate that the self-esteem being kind of a governor for its own, being like water seeks its own level, is basically looking for and attracting something that is going to validate its own pain in a person's life. This is why people generally of a low self-esteem will get into a bad relationship. And again, bad relationship anywhere. It verifies what the person feels about themselves. However, here's the mistake, and this is so important. The mistake is that when a person gets this so-called verification in their mind, they're believing it to be real just because somebody who has a much louder, larger, more aggressive opinion is stating that it's real. It doesn't make it real. It doesn't make it real. And you cannot just take on the persona of being a bad person when there's no evidence of you being a bad person. You just have the emotions of you feel like you're a bad person. We get extraordinarily emotional in situations like this, and we say, all of a sudden, I'm this. I was talking to several people over the last week that are really suffering from this. Their whole life has been turned upside down because people told them that they were bad people because they were white. And it's like, you're not bad because you're white. I mean, to say somebody's bad because they're white is a racist statement. It's like saying somebody's bad because they're any color that's different than your own. But if a white person's never experienced that before and they're coming from a low self-esteem, there is a tendency that person might believe it because it's identifying with the pain in that person's heart. And it's taking the person on a roller coaster ride through their own life, and they don't have the skills to know what to do with it. They literally don't have the emotional intelligence to deal with it. So what I want to do is I want to give some advice, take it or leave it, as to how to help deal with this if you're suffering from this problem. Again, this specific podcast that I'm doing on this, when self-esteem turns to self-abuse, really is not about the racial situation that we have going on in our country. It's about the upheaval that we have going on in our country in many different areas and the emotional fallout that people are experiencing because of it, okay? Just like if anybody's listening to this and you want to know what my stand is on it, my stand is that things that have been happening are absolutely horrible. The murder of George Floyd, racism, altogether, the violence, like it's all absolutely horrible. But it's really not about that. It's about that there's people suffering everywhere because of COVID, because of George Floyd, because of the protests, because of the violence, because of the uncertainty that it's created in our country. It's really having an emotional impact on so many individuals. So if you're a person, first of all, that's being emotionally impacted by this, and in any way you feel you're in trouble, like you could hurt yourself, hurt somebody else, you need to dial 911, you need to call, or you need to go see a doctor, you need to see professional advice immediately. Don't play around with this. It absolutely don't, because, suicide ideation of any kind, hurting another person ideation of any kind is not a good thing. You want to make sure that you're really seeking help for that. Now, for the rest of us that are just, we don't know what to do, the idea is that we have to go back to some standards in our life. We're losing our value perspective. We're losing our internal moral compass in the world. Generation after generation has been saying this for a long time. We're losing our moral compass. We're losing our moral compass. We're losing our moral compass. That means that we can't tell right from wrong. We can't tell good from bad. And we don't know how to make decisions based on some kind of moral value guidance for ourselves. So when we have a low self-esteem, we don't really have that moral compass in a healthy place. We need to really say, we really need to find out, what do we stand for? What do I stand for in life? And you need to go through your life in a way where you're examining, what are your principles? What are your standards? What are your goals? What do you want your life to be about? How do you want to experience this lifetime for yourself? How do you want to experience it with other people's? And start putting in some standards so that you're not tolerating things like low self-esteem. You know, a lot of things with low self-esteem is that we have a tremendous amount of shame that we feel, but the shame is not actually being caused by what we're experiencing now. It's a reactive process that's taking place based on shame that was stored inside of the emotional aspect of ourselves a long time ago. In your own personal life, and it brings it back up. So part of the standard is to know that those kind toxic shame and guilt, we should have no room for in our life. We really should not have room for toxic shame and guilt. We have to look at, what do we want to replace that with? And a lot of it is about ownership. It's about really owning our life, the things that we do. It's about taking responsibility. It's about forgiveness of ourselves and others. It's about setting standards for moving forward in the world where we're really not like trodden on other individuals because of the pain that we feel. We're really bringing it back home and going, okay, here's what I'm experiencing. Why am I having this experience? Why am I experiencing shame and guilt right now? Why am I personally experiencing it? And not use other people that are experiencing it as a reflection of our own internal experience or dialogue, but asking ourselves, where did this come from? Where did the pain and the guilt and the suffering that I'm experiencing actually begin in my life? Because here's what we do know. You generally won't have a reactive process to anything if you haven't experienced it before. The mind does this incredible thing whenever we experience something, is it kind of searches its storehouse of information, and it says, what is this like? Where have I had this experience before? And then when it finds it, it's like, okay, so what was the story around that experience? And it instantaneously starts to bring that up because it gives us a preset pattern as to how to deal with something. So think about it like this. If you experience shame and trauma as a child, ask yourself, what was my preset pattern for dealing with that when I was a kid? What mode of being did I actually go into? Because that's what we're seeing. But people are doing it to extremes. It's like they're shrunken down to a five-year-old. They have no sense of agency for themselves. And they're suffering terribly. They don't know what to do. And in many cases that I'm seeing, they're making poor decisions about their life. They're making decisions that they're pressured into doing because they're scared out of their mind what happens if they don't. And they're not really understanding that they're moving into a very juvenile way of behaving because of the fear. When we're a kid and we're in fear, our whole psychological system is made up to try to find some sense of certainty, some sense of safety in the world. So it will look for patterns, and it will test those patterns as, how do I show up? What do I have to be? What do I have to do? What do I have to say in order to get the thing that's threatening me or perceived threat to either stop or to back off? And people, if you talk to people that were raised in abusive households, they'll tell you this is exactly what happened. They found some way to get mom or dad to back off to some degree, and they learned how to manage their way through that. If that never got healed, that's exactly what's happening now. A person's reverting back to the same age that they had the trauma or the abuse, the same age that they internalized the guilt and the shame, and they're referring back to whatever pattern they were when they were that age, and that's how they're dealing with it and making decisions. And it's kind of like, I'll do anything as long as these external attacks, so to speak, will stop, and I don't have to feel insecure and afraid anymore. The problem is that we're a long ways from getting back to security, whether it was false or real, that we had 6 months ago in this country, actually having it again, either false or real. So we have to understand that if we're going to do some real check here on our mental health, we have to do a real check on what is our own self-esteem and make sure that we get that in a place where it is serving us and it's not actually fighting against who we want to be as an adult person. It's extremely serious. So I also encourage anybody that is really struggling right now to reach out for help. You could reach out to us for help. You could reach out to any mental health professional. Do the research online on this. There's a tremendous amount of research on the idea of low self-esteem, on shame, guilt, trauma, what happens when it gets re-triggered in the body as an adult, how people will go back to childlike ways of being. They will turn over their sense of agency to other people. They will get manipulated into doing things that are not what they would do if they were in a healthy set of conscious mind and a healthy emotional intelligence. And then I would suggest once you get this sorted out, you really start to study and practice mindfulness techniques to really help yourself stay stable in the world, because every one of us needs to be as stable and as healthy as we can be if we're going to fight the challenges and overcome the challenges and grow and make the changes that we need to make as a society. So stay safe. Be well, love each other, and take care of yourself first. Really do a check on your own standard of living. Be well, people.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.